mean for that?
No, did yeah, that was me. That was me. I apologise.
Good stuff. Good evening, one and all. Welcome along. It is season 5, episode 57 of the UK Dallas Cowboys podcast. It's myself and Mike this evening, and we're going to have a quick chat about some more draft prospects for you to look at. We're going to get a little bit deeper tonight, Mike. We're going to look at some guys who are unheralded prospects that, you know, names to watch out for the end of day 2, early day 3 kind of prospects.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, it's all well and good us continuing with, like, all the top guys. At some point, you've got to hit the guys. yeah, we did something new. We're drowning in draft content. So it's all well and good, but you know, at some point you've got to hit these other guys. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, you know, at the same time as doing this, like when me and you were talking about it, I was thinking, so it would be good. What about guys that are going under the radar that we like? So here we go.
Yeah. Absolutely. Before we get into that, there was a bit of news a couple of weeks ago. I mentioned it to you, and it seems to be coming up again. I saw the great and the good of Mr. Brian Broad was mentioning last night that there are some concerns for Jackson Powers-Johnson and his medical reports. Now, it's at this time of year you start hearing these kinds of things. According to Brian, Graham Barton is now the number one center on a lot of people's boards. What's your own take on that, Mike?
Yeah, I get what they're coming from. Okay, so that, like, I've done a scout report on Graham Barton. It is fantastic. And what's so good about Graham Barton, and me and you have talked about this extensively as well, is that, like, with most of the guys, like the offensive line guys,
yeah,
who they draft, you will get an idea, a sense of what they're going to do with this offensive line. It also, a big one, is that you're going to get a sense of what the identity of the offensive line is going to be. Because at the moment, we have no idea. Like, when you look at last year and you say, what is the identity of this offensive line? I couldn't tell you. I didn't know what it was. Because, like, sometimes they were gap power, sometimes they were zone, sometimes they were trying to use brute force, sometimes they were flowing. With Graham Barton, he's one of the guys where if you draft, you go, I still have no idea. Not because he's untalented, but because he's so versatile. There's just like a huge range of skills and positions he can play. That's why he's so good. So what I think guys like Broadus are keying in on is A, Barton's versatility to play up and down the line. Because, like, you could draft him on day one and go, we'll figure this out later. Because you can. You can literally draft Graham Barton and you can figure out what you're doing with the offensive line once you get to camp.
Yeah.
And see how it looks. With the other guys, you kind of, you need to have a plan as soon as you draft them. That is particularly the case with Jackson Powers. Now, I will say, as a center, like I'm going to go against, and I love Broad, you know me, I love Broadus, yeah, and talk to him all the time, speaking to him only last week. But I disagree that Barton is the better center because he's the better offensive lineman, you could argue, but not the better center.
Yeah.
What they're saying is there's Barton's versatility, but there's also issues with Jackson Powers in terms of him as a center. Now, bearing in mind, Jackson Powers was a backup offensive lineman for 2 years. His freshman year, believe it or not, I went back and checked, he played on the defensive line at one point. You know, that's how sometimes these things go. So Powers was playing on the other side of the line for a small period of time. And he only really played as a starter for one season. That was at center, which wasn't really his position. He was more of a guard. So you had to learn how to play center. And I made a tweet today that I was watching Power, ironically, Jackson Powers tape on the weekend. You know, we had time off with Easter and everything.
Yes.
And I forget which game it was. And I watched over half a dozen very bad snaps. Now, put that down to experience, that he hasn't quite figured out how to play centre. One of them was very, very concerning. It was on the near the goal line. He fumbles. Bo Nix is trying to scramble around for the ball. It gets lost. Game, you know, it's a turnover. That's on Powers. That's hit, that literally, it was a very bad snap.
Yeah.
But it's inconsistent. And it's very much like Tanner Bortolini. He's the same, where not so much when he's snapping under center, when it's short snaps, but shotgun snaps, whew, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
With Powers, there's this issue where it's an underrated thing that people don't pay attention to. Nobody's talking about it. It's all well and good talking about how well does your offensive lineman, particularly in the case of the center, right?
Yeah.
How do they block? It's a very vital and important piece. But when you're talking about center, you also need to be talking and looking at how is his snaps? How is he snapping the ball? Nobody is talking about this at all.
Yeah.
Which is why I made the tweet. It's weird. Yeah. So there's that issue. The other issue with Powers is it's a medical question mark. Now, obviously, he left the combine early.
Mm-hmm.
He left the Senior Bowl, I believe it was, early. I can't remember. Was it a hamstring or a quad?
I think it was a quad.
Yeah, something like that. It was a leg injury anyway.
It was a leg injury, yeah.
And so, like, there's that to contend with. So now you kind of ask questions about how ready is he going to be? What's the durability?
Mm-hmm.
What are the medicals? Because, like, me and you've talked about this before. Unfortunately, like, when you're talking about medicals, we don't get to see the medicals. So we have no idea. All you can go off is what the feel is of the guys from the inside. How are they talking? Because they're getting their news from guys that they know further deeper into the teams again.
Yeah.
So you just got to get this feel. And the feel at the moment is, look, Jackson Powers has a concerning question mark whatever has happened there.
Yeah.
So people are beginning to allow him to drop down boards.
Yeah.
Now, without knowing more, all I can say is my board as it stands with just off the feel of what you're getting is, there's question marks there. We don't know. So at the moment, it's like, I don't know what to take. I don't know how to take that. And I don't know what to do with it. So as it stands, JPJ is still the number one center. Graham Barton is a fantastic offensive lineman right behind. I wouldn't say he's the best center in this draft. Because in terms of centers, I would even go as far to say that Zach Frazier is better than Barton again. But, it's what the good thing with the offensive line being so deep, and I'm glad that I don't have to make it, is that the decision is on that front office. It's on your head of scouting, your GM, in particular the Dallas Cowboys, Will McClay, Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones. They have to make the decision on how they want to piece this all together.
Yeah.
They then, though, have more information than we do. Yeah. They'll have the interviews, the visits, the 30 visits, the private workouts, and they get the full medicals, which they can then hand to their medical staff and say, what does this mean? And they can make a risk assessment from that. So they get more information than we do, and then they can make the decision from there. But in terms of for my particular ranking on mine, I mean, if I go to it, it hasn't budged. And I mean, I can prove it if you really want me to share my screen. He's still my center number one.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not that we're trying to knock Graham Barton in what we're saying at all, because we're not. What we're saying about Graham Barton, as you alluded to earlier, is Graham Barton is a day one starter wherever you bring him into this team. So if you bring him in and go, right, Tyler Smith is my left guard, Graham Barton is going, or Tyler Smith is my left tackle, Graham Barton is going to be my left guard, and I'll figure out center. Or we're putting Barton at center, we're going to put Bass at guard, we're putting Tyler Smith at tackle. Mm. They will figure it out in some way over the course of the camp. you know, between rookie mini camps, OTAs, preseason, everything like that, they'll figure out what they're doing if they bring in Graham Barton. It's an interesting thing. I think one of the guys on Blogging the Boys did a piece today about 40 mock drafts that they've seen. And Jackson Powers-Johnson was taken in 10 of the drafts. Graham Barton was taken in 8 of the drafts. So there's a lot, and I think 35 of the 40 drafts included an offensive lineman being taken in the first round, you know, so it's kind of well flagged what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like the Cowboys, I think regardless, this is a draft where they're drafting for need. Now that's just the way they kind of force themselves. It's not particularly a bad thing to do, because you can go along and all right, you're going to miss on some talent.
Yeah.
You know, but if you go into a mindset of, look, this is our plan, we want to go A, B, C, D, based on depth, you may have to adjust as the draft goes along because things change. If certain positions start coming off the board faster than others, and you've got to react to it. But it's not a bad way to go. It's not my favorite way to do a draft, but, you know, this is the way it's going to go. It could mean a good thing in a way, right? Mm. In a way that it's a good thing. Is by drafting for need, they may avoid that very weird round two philosophy they've always had. Because they've always gone BPA, or they've tried to do a BPA sort of philosophy in the first round. Certainly in recent times they've done that. That when it gets to the second round, because they feel so confident on a first round pick, that's why they kind of take these gambles in the second round. That they think, well, we've got the ability, we've got this assurance from the first round, so we'll take this gamble in the second round. Because now you're kind of going reverse on the idea, because you've got to go best player available. Mm. There could be a way that forces their hand in changing how their draft philosophy in the second round changes. That they go, well, we can't take a gamble because we need to fill the positions of need. So they'll kind of shift away from what they've done in recent times. Oh, and I need to move you around. you're the host.
But I mean, if we talk about Graham Barton for a minute or two, I mean, what is makes Graham Barton such a good player for you?
Well, as I said, the first thing is versatility. Like the guy is he is a jack of all trades, first of all. Yeah. I mean, we'll come back to that if you want. But he is a draft of all. Yeah, like when I done my draft report on him and I put it in, I said, look, he's a draft of. He's multifaceted. He's a jack of all trades. Mm. That this is one of the best. And he has experience and time, and he's done it at a high level, and he was productive each time they decided to slot him into a different place. So whenever Duke decided to play him in a different place, he was always able to take it. High IQ guy. He's an FBI type guy, which we know works. We've had it in Dallas before.
Yeah.
Very explosive, huge burst. You know, high aggression, very, very good, high motor player.
Yes.
I think the best way to describe the way he plays is the old Irish fighter.
No, I mean, I would fully agree with you. Those would be the terms I would use. What I've seen in film that I've watched of him is he's an exceptional finisher. He'll put guys on the ground if they get in his way for too long. You know, he's not going to take any BS from anyone. It's a bit like Tyler from 2 years ago in that, coming out of a smaller school, but played at an elite level all of the time in that school and was depended upon by his offensive line coach to lead the line. And that's what you want to see from him. You want to see him getting guys, putting them on the ground, putting them on their asses and moving on and going to the next level, because that's what we need, is a bit of aggression in this offensive line.
Yeah, yeah, he's totally fine in that sense. You've got no problems.
Yeah,
you know. So that his background at all the positions are very good. Like the fact that he can play center and at a high level as well is huge, because teams, like I say, because there's that level of versatility of being either inside or outside, you can literally go, well, okay then, let's just draft him and we'll decide where we're going to play him. It gives you that ability to be a lot more freer with your roster, and figure things out. A guy like Jackson Powers, that's where you're going. Zach Frazier, that's where you're going.
Yeah.
The other side of it, of the versatility side of it, is as well scheme. So, like, you know, whatever they decide to do with this Cowboys offensive line in terms of identity, Barton gives you a lot more. You could be freer as well in that sense. So it just goes to show the range of his skills. As I say, jack of all trades. Like, he's not particularly a master as a pass blocker, and neither is he a master as a run blocker. But what he is he's extremely good at both. So he's good at both. He's totally fine. It's not like either is a weakness. But at the same time, he's not elite in either. Whereas Jackson Powers, Zach Frazier, you know, even the list goes, the early sort of draft players, the early round guys, they all are a particular master of something. And that's where Barton isn't.
Yeah. I mean, the knock for me on Barton would be in pass pro. He can get beaten on the inside. So there is a danger if you put him in at center that he's going to have that upsy daisy of, is his head coming up quick enough as he's snapping the ball? You know, as you kind of alluded to, there were a lot of issues you saw with Jackson Powers Johnson in the review that you did last night, or the film you were watching last night.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, with Barton, that's not hugely there, but it's more an issue of he's snapping the ball and he's getting beaten before he's getting himself fully set.
Yeah, I think what it is with him, arm length is a big one. So, you know, a lot of people keep talking about him being a tackle. And I wouldn't see that. No way. Can he do it? Most definitely. Would he be successful at it in the NFL? No. More than likely. But you want him on the inside because he's safer. Yeah. The one for me with him, his biggest issue will be his hand placement. It could be... it's not all over the place, but mistimed. Like, certainly his striking. His striking can be in a bad... He will strike at the wrong place. He won't strike where he needs to at the shoulder. It'll be out of time. And because he's got these short arms, it means his wingspan is a lot less, which means he has less room for recovery. So when you strike and you're off balance, he hasn't got that ability to be able to stick his arm out. You know, guys can get around him a bit quicker. You do see that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's kind of one of the things is, you know, does he have that full spectrum of maneuvers? You know, we say, like, Sam Williams has one move and that he's great at that move, but that's kind of it with Sam. You know, and you want to see your offensive lineman having a whole roster and, you know, trunk of moves that they can have. And that's something he's going to have to develop at the NFL level. You know, as you say, hand position can be bad. It's also late at times, which is not what you want to see at this level, because that'll be very easily found out in the NFL.
Yeah. I always say, like, Jesus, sorry, it's me. It is me. And I know the people on the podcast who are listening are going to hate that noise. It's basically because I there's just like messages coming in on my phone. Every time it does, it's a horrific noise. Don't worry, I've chucked my phone over there. It's out the way. But what were we saying? I've lost my train of thought now.
We're talking about the hand placement and the lack of a roster full of moves that he needs to develop.
And, you know, in Jackson's, you know, an argument for him is he is a mauler. He's solid. he's much more of a mauler, without a doubt. Like, the issue will be the finishing. You know, if you want to talk about the blocking, it's the finishing. But that's really about it. Everything else isn't too bad. Like, the guy's got a massive... Like, when he takes his base and he steps out, it's just huge. It just takes up so much space. It's unbelievable. But the red flags are there. You know, there are issues that need to be looked at.
Yeah. So if we move on to the next guy that we said we'd take a look at, this is a guy who you're probably going to get in the fourth or fifth round quite easily, but has a lot better potential if he didn't have an injury history, and that's Zach Zinter out of Michigan.
No, the injury is huge. Now, you know, because we're looking at under the radar guys. This is one of my under the radar guys. I do like him quite a lot. You know, thick upper body, huge. I mean, the guy is like he's like a triangle, but just huge. That when you look at him, and his size is ready to go. It's an NFL ready to go. I mean, I'm just going through my notes now because I left them up on what I've got here. You know, he's very, very quick to reset. I've got that. Yeah. Quick reset. So, like, he already is very, very good at taking the correct angles on blocks. You see it constantly. Yeah. If he's somehow beaten, he's able to recover very quickly, which is huge. And I like that a lot about him. He's got, the arm length is some issue. And I know we went through that year. What year was it where was it like 2019 when we went through the whole arm length thing and we learned more about arm length than we did any of that? So it's just something to stack from that.
I think we talk about it every year.
since then, for definitely. Yeah. You know, he was talking about hand striking. There's no issue with Zach's in there. I like it. I do like all of that. And like when you talk about Zinter and you talk about all the hard, good things, you say, well, you know, there must be a reason. And yeah, the reason he's so low at the moment is I believe it was a broken leg.
Mm-hmm.
I believe so at the moment, he's a little unknown. Because like that happened, I think. Hold on. I'm pretty certain it was around bowl season when it was late in the season. Yeah. So I'm pretty certain it was around about the bowl season when he broke his leg. So since then, it's kind of like being, well, what? And you're like, well, you're going to have to wait because, like you said, you know, you said there's the injury. The other one is two gaps. So when he's up against a guy who's able to be a two gapper, I mean, forget it. He's done. He just seems to have this ability that you just can't take them on. And I don't know why, because his size isn't bad. Hold on. Let me go to his profile. I've got it around here somewhere. I'm only looking at my quick notes. Here you go. So 6'6", 309 pound. So it's not bad size for an inside offensive line. But it just seems weird. I don't know why it happens. And the other one is pass protection can sometimes be a little bit sloppy.
Yeah.
Like as if it just needs some, an offensive line coach to come in, take a screwdriver to him and just tighten everything up a little bit. And then you get that and you've got a solid guy. As I say, the question is going to be whether, with Zach Zinter, whether it's the medicals again. And we've already talked about medicals. It's the big unknown. But, I mean, for me, his pass blocking is fine. It's good.
Yeah.
You know, you've got enough there to work with. Run blocking, you still got question marks there. Yeah. I feel you've still got some question marks there. The big question mark with him, I think, with the run blocking is more the strength.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's why he struggles with guys who are so defenders who are able to do two gaps so well. You just can't shift them. And I think it's just more of a, it's a functional strength thing, I think, rather than size.
Yeah. He's very much someone, if you get across his face, he's in trouble.
Yeah, he doesn't have the agility. Doesn't have the agility. Yeah.
Doesn't have the agility. Doesn't have the footwork as yet that you need. And that's, again, that's something that, you know, the elite guys will have. They'll have the footwork. They'll have the IQ. But right now, Zinter doesn't have that. You know, it's average athletic ability at best. But, I mean, he does have great hands. We spoke about his hand placement and his hand movement and a repertoire. That was the word I was trying to think of. A full repertoire of moves that he can use with his punch, with his hand placement, where he'll drive you back. Like, this guy got into the Michigan team in 2021 and never got out of it.
Yeah.
You know, and this was a Michigan team that was quite close to... say it for me, winning the college football playoffs all three seasons he was there, you know.
Yeah.
So if you're playing for 3 years on that kind of an O-line, it's great to have.
You know, as we're just talking, I've just gone on now to have a look. He's got a wingspan of 81 1/8, which is, that's big.
That is big.
How? Oh, so he's big bodied. Of course, I didn't think of that. So, yeah, although his arm length is small, his wingspan is huge. So that does make quite a difference. That's kind of even upped me up a little bit. That puts him in terms of like offensive guard, he's just outside the top five for me, like six, possibly even fifth. You could put him there.
Yeah, that's fair. Just quick note, DJ Dog is saying good evening to us all. Folks, we can see that there's an awful lot of you are on, you're watching in on the Twitter channel. If you can flip over and follow us on YouTube, you'll be able to interact with us. And we love people chatting and chatting amongst themselves during the show. It's just with Twitter, we can't actually see the comments that you guys are putting in. So try and flip over to YouTube if you can. It's the same handle as the UK Cowboys fans, and you'll get us there. And Joe and DJ Dog generally they'll chat amongst themselves while myself and Mike are chatting here as well. So it's great to have. But I mean, with Zach Zinter, is there anything else that either you like or concerns you before we move on from him?
Like I say, medicals is a big one. Functional strength is really the only other thing. So get him in the gym, get him working out, get him powered up. Yeah, that's bad. I can see you now. You will have, like, as long as the medicals check out, you know, that's the big one. If they check out, I think the rest, like the functional strength side of it, or the strength, the power, although he's big bodied, just sounds like he just needs to work on that. And then it's just a technique thing, which I'm sure if he did come to Dallas, it's something they'd be able to work on quite easily, knowing how well they draft offensive linemen in Dallas.
Yes. And I mean, the thing is, if you're bringing Zach Zinter in, you're not bringing him in to be a starter from day one. You're literally going to say, here's potentially the best right guard to ever play the game of football. You soak up every bit of knowledge and know-how and technique that you can from him whilst he's in this building.
Yeah, ironically, you say that. Ironically, I've got on one of my lists, so I always write down where they would best fit, and I've got right guard. So, if Zach Martin is looking to retire next year, which we cannot confirm or deny, we've heard rumour, but if he was, then Zach Zinter sitting out a year or working for a year, working on the strength, working on getting healthy from the injury, working on technique, fantastic. Mm. You could then slot him in next year into right guard, and you should have something that's pretty viable.
Yeah. The only final point I would make is, and I know you said get him into the strength and weight room. This is a guy you don't want losing any weight.
Oh, no, God, no, 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 no.
You know, we saw that with Mazzy Smith last year. They got him into the weight room, and we all knew Mazzy was an animal in the weight room, but he dropped 30 pounds.
Yeah, I don't know what
that's about. You don't want to see an interior offensive lineman who's 310 right now dropping back to 280. That's game over. You need that guy putting on 30 pounds.
Yeah, when we just spoke about his strength, his issue, that is a problem. But he's able to take on bull rushes. And the reason he's able to take on bull rushes is because he's so top heavy. So it makes his gravity with his squats down.
Yeah.
Almost very, very hard to move. So, yeah, if he was to take weight off him, you lose the sand in the pants.
Yeah.
Which is what you don't want.
No, no, definitely not. So moving on to the next guy, and I'm going to throw this straight over to you, Mike, because I do not have any info on this guy at all. So Ethan Driscoll out of Marshall, an offensive tackle, 6'8", 313. I'm looking at his arm length here, and it's 35 and a half inches. That's an offensive tackle.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The complete opposite. So, obviously, this is good. This is a day three guy. And, you know, we're talking about under-the-radar guys here. Offensive and defensive line, under-the-radar guy. We'll do wide receiver, running back. We'll do them all. Yeah. Under-the-radar type guys. And the pass blocking with Ethan is still, it's not perfect, but it's at a high standard. Like, if he was to drop him in, he would be able to pass protect for you with some relative confidence. The run blocking needs some work, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But I like him if they are looking in day three for an offensive tackle to take on, if they're looking to make this offensive line, you know, like you know, like the old. So when Mike McCarthy was in charge of Green Bay, and that offensive line was always on the move. Can you remember how the old Mike McCarthy offensive lines were?
Oh, yeah.
They were always mobile, on the move. It was always flowing. It was always coming across. A lot of movement. Ethan Driscoll fits that kind of mold for what Mike McCarthy would look for. He still needs, he still needs to work on things. Like the pass protection, as I say, it's not bad, but it can still be inconsistent. It needs to work on his balance because it can be a little bit wayward. It can be too much over the top either way and forward and backwards. So that is a bad thing. Does need to work on some of the strength issues as well, which is why his run blocking struggles. But he's smart, right? A guy who just, he doesn't react to play what any sort of movement or fakes that are coming from the defense, he'll just deal with it, you know, stunts, all the rest. He's got a very aggressive way of doing things. He's really solid in that way and really aware and understands what the defense is trying to do. A cerebral player, basically, you know, that you say, the intelligent guys, which we know the Cowboys love to draft.
Yeah.
That's what I love, because the between the ears stuff, yeah, sure, you can coach some of that into players, but if they've already got it, you're already 90% of the way there. Because if I'm an NFL coach, I know I can put muscle on you. That's easy enough. We've seen how quickly these guys can put it on. One season, boom, they're there. I know I can do that. Technique, I can teach you that. I can get you into coaching with the coaches, get you with a position coach. We'll get you moving along. It's exactly what training camp and all the rest of us for. I can get that into you. Trying to drill motivation and intelligent thinking and understanding defense, that's a lot harder to do. So that's why I like Ethan Driscoll a lot. There's already a baseline to work off, and then you're just building on top of the easier stuff.
I mean, if you bring in this guy on day three of the draft, what kind of a role are you looking at for him? Is it swing tackle with a potential to play left tackle, or...
Let me have a look. What have we got here? No, that's a good one. I don't think he would be a swing tackle. I don't think so. You're going to have other options to use off free agency from bargain basement buy-in, where you can find that swing tackle. This guy is he's more of a backup player if there's like some sort of injury. And then he becomes your swing tackle because your swing tackle is going to go in. So he's more like of a rotational piece further down because he still needs to work on things. But as a late day three guy, that's what you're doing. You're trying to draft for traits and work on other things. His biggest trait is the intelligence, the between the ears stuff, the awareness, the understanding. A player on the move, a blocker on the move. But that is all because he understands angles. He's understanding what the defense is doing. Zero reaction to him when it comes to stunts. I mean, like he just stands straight. He's like, whatever. Because he's understanding, because pre-snap, he's understood what the defense are trying to throw at him.
Yeah. I mean, before we finish up on the offensive line, like we're kind of talking in terms of maybe double and triple dipping this year on the offensive line. Good job. What does that mean for guys lower down the roster? I'm looking at Asim Richards, Josh Ball, Matt Weletzko. Are you looking at, you know, potentially moving on from one or two of those guys? Or are you hoping maybe you can get those guys back around and onto a practice squad?
Josh Ball, I mean, I was vocal about that one from the start.
Yeah.
The day they drafted him, I was never a fan of that pick.
Yeah,
he could be the one, and he is the veteran of those names. He's been there the longest, so it would make sense to move on. If you don't get any returns that you can see while they're in training this year, he's fighting for his life. Well, Weletzko is an issue of more durability. Because we haven't seen him play. Jazz hands.
Apologies, gentlemen. Apologies.
We're talking about Weletzko, mate.
Brian
said, if we're drafting a late day three offensive lineman, what happens to the likes of guys like Josh Ball, Weletzko, and Asim Richards, or Awesome Richards? And I was saying, well, out of those names, Josh Ball is the guy really in the firing line there. He's the first
Absolutely. Like, I would say Josh is gone. Well, let's go stays. And Richards is in the second year, so he's likely going to be back up. That's
exactly.
It.
Yeah, exactly. That's how
in a nutshell. In an absolute nutshell. But how are they doing, guys?
We're not too bad. You seem very happy, Paul. Is there something happening this week?
I'm flying to the Lone Star State on Thursday.
Getting cigars?
Yeah, I'm going to have me some cigars. I'm going to go and see a Dallas Stars game. And I'm going to do a big road trip out to Oklahoma as well.
The Oaks.
I don't think it's anywhere near that, though. It's, yeah. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But it's just an exciting time for the Cowboys right now, isn't it? We're on the up.
Paul, seeing as you've just joined on, Joe has thrown in a question. I'm going to throw this one to you, right? Because we've kind of talked about Powers Johnson, we've talked about Graham Barton, we've talked about Ethan Driscoll. You know, which position for you is more urgent to fill, center or left tackle?
Easier to fill.
No, which is more urgent?
More urgent. It really depends what we're doing with Tyler Smith. I would say if he is going to be pushed back to left tackle, then obviously it's going to be center. But regardless, center, guard, position, wherever you want to call it, wherever in that left side, left guard, center, I think that would still take a priority, even if you do kick Tyler to left tackle. So, if me, it would be more the interior O-line, and just in general, not specifically center, but interior O-line, I would say.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And I mean, the thing is, they have as we always kind of say, they cover themselves going into the draft. Yep. You have Brock Hoffman, who's there, who can play center. You have TJ Bass, who can play left guard. There's another gentleman there called Lyle Collins. He can bloody well play left guard.
That's right. I forgot he's back with us. I totally forgot about that. So,
you know, so they are kind of covered in terms of having guys that can play on the line.
It's more, I would say it's more the depth now, I would say. Like, yeah. Losing likes of Tyron Smith is a big loss. Like, even though he doesn't play a whole season for the Cowboys, but his presence alone being in that starting five offensive line is unprecedented. Like, and people can still say about maybe likes of Biadish and stuff like that, because obviously he's not your Travis Frederick, but at the tail end of his Cowboys career, he really improved drastically from his first two seasons. So,
yeah.
I still think like there is still levels above. So for likes of Hoffman and that, et cetera, they need to really step up. And the one thing I really do appreciate, Hoffman, he did publicly say, I'm willing to step up to the plate. He did say that. So, and I applaud that. So if he's willing to say what he says and do the job, then great. But I still do believe we still need to add some more, like, quality bodies coming out of college to really help our offensive line out. Like, it goes without saying, you can never have enough offensive linemen on your roster. Never have enough.
Very true.
So, Mike, we are getting a few questions in tonight, which is what we want. You know,
yes,
so
bring on the questions. Bring them on.
Put them into us. DJ Dog is asking, do we see TJ Bass as good enough at guard?
Potentially.
You would expect the development to take up a step.
That's why I'm saying potentially, because we saw glimpses of that during preseason, and he looked really good, and he had a really good camp. So I'm hoping he can start pile on a couple of more pounds, have that off season, and see where things go from there. But from when we got him from last year, I did like what we saw from him. He has that nice aggressive streak, especially for the inside run. So for me, it's all on him to really step up. Again, it kind of goes back to what I was saying, like a Hoffman, it's like they need to rise up to the occasion and prove to themselves, am I a starting offensive lineman for the Dallas Cowboys? It's on them to do that.
I think this is one of the things, to be fair, that Dallas does well. We always say if the Dallas Cowboys draft an offensive lineman in the first round, you don't question it.
Never. especially after previous years. Like, we questioned the Tyler Smith pick. By God, we were wrong. We questioned the Zach Martin pick. By God, we were really wrong. We questioned the Travis Frederick pick. By God, we were extremely wrong. So I have no qualms, no issues with our front office when it comes to drafting offensive linemen in the first round. It's more to do with the guys that we do get in the later rounds. It seems to be really hit and miss.
Yeah. But that was the second part of what I was going to say, is you kind of alluded to it there. We've been very hit and miss on the later round guys.
Yeah.
But guys we pick up undrafted, we see.
Great point, Brian. Yeah.
Lyle Collins,
Terrence Steele,
mm-hmm.
Brandon Knight, the year we had him, did very well.
He had a good spell. I agree with you on that.
Hoffman and Bass. The two of those guys have done well as well. Ron Leary.
I totally agree with you, Brian. But I'm going to throw in a wee predicament here. Layden Robinson, the guard for Texas A&M. I think he'll go undrafted and he will sign for the Cowboys. Yeah. That is my bet for this year's draft. Mm. I think he'll get picked up by Dallas, because he is a 30-day visit guy.
Yeah.
Dallas do like him. He is projected to be a seventh rounder. We do need to add more numbers at guard. And he did play pretty decent during his college career. So it wouldn't surprise me if Dallas were to be invited to that, to get like Sir Robinson, for the guard from Texas A&M, as an undrafted.
And they do have 2 seventh-round draft picks this year. So maybe that's something you might see if the
potentially
if the wind blows that they're going right, this guy might not make it to free agency. Let's pull the trigger now and take him at the end of the seventh.
It's just what your seventh round is about.
Well, I think in this case, because we've only got what 7 picks this year, not to mention we're missing the 4th. Obviously, with the whole Trey Lance situation, which we don't want to go into. but with the likes of these later rounds, I think we will still need to draft positional need, like for other positions. Like we might need to get another cornerback. We might need to get like a wee deep route wide receiver in the later rounds, if there's any left, but bear in mind. But but this is the beauty of the NFL draft. Anything can freaking happen. It really is like a deal or no deal, national lottery. You just don't know what you're expecting. Like I could be sitting here with box number 5. I think there's $1 million in it. So say that's like Jackson Powers Johnson, right? That's box number 5. I open it up and it's Chuma Adoga. See where I'm going?
Yeah.
Sorry, but I had to throw that with like this is how I kind of see with the draft. Because let's be honest, like, and I'm going very generic here, like, especially when it comes to like the quarterbacks. And I'm sorry, I'm scattering over the place since I just came on here. But when it comes to quarterbacks, especially, like, how many quarterbacks have we seen in the first round, in particular, like Carson Wentz, etc., etc., like Josh Rosen. Great example. Guys who are projected, Trey Lance, projected first round future Hall of Famers, blah, blah, blah. Oh, this guy's got a cannon of an arm. It's like, well, if that's the case, why is he not actually playing the starting role? It's like you put all your eggs in your basket to draft this guy, sometimes even trade up to get the guy, like Mitchell Trubisky, good example, and it just turns out not what you're expecting.
So, Paul, you must be reading my mind, because this was a question I was going to throw to Mike anyway. Seen a lot of mock drafts in the past 10 days, Mike, and what was always assumed, look, Caleb Williams is going to the Chicago Bears. That card is already handed in.
Without a doubt.
It was always assumed Drake May was quarterback too. And now suddenly Drake May doesn't seem to be quarterback too. So, Are you buying the belief that Jaden Daniels has jumped him and is now quarterback too, or do you think this is just part of the whole lying season and teams jockeying?
I understand the reasons why. I liked, because you asked me before about Drake May, and I'm just like, he's. For me, he's a first-round player based on a number of factors.
Yeah.
But he's not without... He's rough around the edges.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels has a very good high IQ, and he comes with the extra mobility. Like, Drake May has mobility. It's just more of that pocket movement where Drake... Yeah. Where Jaden Daniels can get out and he can get going. I just think that in terms of a rookie quarterback, when you think of rookie quarterbacks, the ones that have been most successful have been the ones who have been able to avoid pressure with their mobility, because they're youthful and they're young and they can use their speed and agility to get away from the pressure. Whereas as they get older, they understand and they read the defense better. That's why I find... I think Jaden Daniels has the edge, and he always has for me, over Drake May.
Yeah.
I've got a question for you guys. The New York Giants, I've seen a ton of mock drafts. They're going to be drafting J.J. McCarthy.
If
that was to happen, is Daniel Jones 2.0. That's the way I'm seeing it.
That is if the Giants stay at six because there is a lot of talk.
Really?
The Vikings are going to trade up. They hold two
first round picks.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk. They're going to draft. They're going to go up to three to take JJ McCarthy.
And I, ironically, a guy who's rough around the edges is JJ McCarthy.
Wow.
It's really bad. Like really bad in terms of rough around the edges. There's skills there. There's a skill set there for definite with JJ McCarthy.
Yeah.
Man, we are definitely in draft season right now. That's for sure.
But here's the irony. When you look at the Vikings roster, I think for a guy like JJ McCarthy, I'd be like, please, please let me go. Because if he doesn't, he's going to the Giants, or even worse. I think that if he goes here, his career's done. It's over. Is New England.
New England. Yeah.
If he goes there, oh my goodness. Like nothing fits him there. It would just be the worst fit ever. They just drafted him purely for the because he's a good quarterback. What are you trying to elevate from his skill set to go? Like the guy's hardly thrown the ball.
I mean, my question right now is, if the New England Patriots have to start a game tomorrow, who's their starting quarterback?
I don't know.
Tom,
is Brian Hoyer?
Like I just worry about JJ McCarthy. I really do. This, and I know there's a certain Michigan fan that me and Paul know that will be screaming at me for saying this. But the floor for JJ McCarthy, I think, it's quite high. So there's a safety blanket there. The issue is the ceiling is a big question mark because of the issues. Like the guy, I think I checked before, he's got something like in his college career, something like 700 pass attempts.
Yeah.
And you know, like Drake May last year had like nearly 600. Do you know what I mean? It's like he's hardly thrown the ball. So what is it? And think about Michigan. Think about that offense and how it works, and how there's a lot of scheme in there. Like I believe somebody can quote me and correct me, but I believe that like nearly 40% of all of JJ McCarthy's passes in college were behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah,
that's scheme. That's all scheme. It's all scheme. Yeah. So what are you trying to? What are you trying to do there with him? You know,
I mean, let's think hypothetically. I can't even speak.
You're okay.
Say it was a nice situation with Brock Purdy. He is that type of system. He's a system quarterback, right?
Yeah.
You could say the exact same thing for McCarthy, right? Is it McCarthy or Carthy?
McCarthy.
Yeah. Right. Like, if he goes into the right team and that has a system, offensive, like a proper system with their offense, then fine. He might actually do quite well, but he's not going to set the world on fire. Thing, you know, but I just think it's absolutely crazy where it's very desperation in certain teams that they're willing to do that. And I'm just looking at the top three picks right now. You've got Chicago, Washington, and New England. And I've got one of my mock drafts here right now, and all of them is Williams, Mike May, and Daniels as your top three. That could go, obviously with Williams, he's most likely going to go number one, but there could be a pure crazy scenario where it comes to pick two and pick three. It could be something absolutely insane like we saw a couple of years back, you know?
Mm. Yeah. But, like, DJ Dog has said it there, and like he's totally right. There are games where JJ McCarthy had five passing attempts. I think there was a couple of games at the end of the Big Ten season where JJ McCarthy didn't throw the ball in the second half. It was literally Donovan Edwards, Blake Corum, hand the ball off. The offensive line did their thing.
Yeah.
Beat everybody up, and that was it. Like, they literally ran over Ohio State in the game. You know? Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I think there was like, it was something weird where over this the span of two games, JJ yeah. McCarthy spent three quarters without throwing the ball. I forget which year that was, though. And I forget which particular period it was.
It was this year, and it was before the Ohio State game. I think it was against Maryland.
Yes. You know, it's just crazy. Like, what do you do? And then the passes that you do. And I'm not saying he's not a good quarterback. I'm just saying these are huge question marks that when people are saying and they're going, take J.J. McCarthy, like the third quarterback overall or the second, even the fourth or fifth. I'm just kind of like, that just seems a bit wild to me. You're talking about a guy who never really did that much in terms of what he did as a leader, as a personality, and some of the passes he did make, especially like with his variance of arm angles. Insane.
Yeah.
That was good to see, but you don't see it enough.
Yeah, for sure. So moving along kind of away from the quarterback talk, because it's not something that the Dallas Cowboys are going to be involved in the first round anyway. Even though I did see a mock draft had Michael Penix Jr. going to Dallas at 24.
Wow. Well, I think that if that was to happen, I think we would just call that for the whole draft. I think we'd be like, okay, all right, good night.
It would be the only thing you'd be talking about for the next 3 days while the draft is on.
Yeah.
It would take over. It would take over the conversation.
And just be honest, that some of them Jerry would do, to be fair, but not in the first round. Like maybe like wide receiver, yeah, I get it. But quarterback? Yeah.
I got something to tell you on that one, Paul, that, you know, we did our mock draft and we took Zachary Franklin.
Yes.
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of talk that the Cowboys are investigating him.
Yeah, yeah. Like after watching some of his actual footage, I'm actually quite intrigued by him, to be honest. Yeah.
And if we take him in the mock draft and all of a sudden the Cowboys are like, we like this Franklin guy. And we're like, yeah, don't worry. Yeah, we know. We helped you start that ball rolling, should we say.
Yeah, right. Cowboys, all you need to do now is look up Evan Anderson from Florida Atlantic. There you go.
That's the next guy. That's your next Mazzy replacement, yeah.
I wouldn't say Mazzy replacement, but he's definitely going to be that guy who's going to take on the two gap.
I tell you what, he's the Mazzy replacement, and Mazzy is the Jonathan Hankins replacement.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
So, nice little segue into getting back into what we were talking about earlier, Mike, in terms of earlier or later round guys that, you know, would definitely be worth considering. And Leonard Taylor III out of the University of Miami.
Yes, yeah. The enemy of Texas A&M last year. I should know better. Never placed bets on college football. And I did, and that one came back to sting me. But Leonard Taylor, he's an interesting guy. He's dropping down boards because people are concerned about a number of things, right?
Yeah.
I get it. Like the Shrine Bowl as well. That wasn't a good look for him. But in fairness, the Shrine Bowl wasn't really good for any of the defensive players. Wasn't really good for some of the offensive players either. But particularly on defense, it made them all look bad. But I like Leonard Taylor because what you got is the issue is he gives up. And as the game wears on, he gives up more in the play, right? Mm-hmm. We've got a guy who had that concern in college on the team. I'll get to that now. But
yeah,
Leonard Taylor is this guy who flashes, burst, movement, can break into the backfield so quickly. And when you see, if you just went to Leonard Taylor's highlight play from a couple of games, you'll go, my God, this guy's a first-round player. Because you just see these moves, see the ability that he's able to break into the backfield so simply with just like elite athleticism.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that, though, Mike. Sorry to interrupt you there, but I'm just looking at the projection line for Leonard Taylor right now. Yeah. So from the very start up till the start of April,
yeah,
He was lately going to be a first-round draft pick, and he has dropped all the way down to the 120s and 130s in terms of...
I can imagine so. Yeah. Like there's traits there. And like, obviously, this is why we're going for, like, you know, we're talking about later-round guys. So that kind of lines up with what we're looking at. The trouble with Taylor is it's inconsistent, and it waves off as the game goes on. So what happens is he's just not this high-motivated, high-motor type guy. But if you can crack the code with him and get him to just keep on going through the game, to push through that barrier, you could have a viable guy. That guy we had on the roster before, that he came in with that very, very same statement, and his name was Osa Odighizuwa.
Mm-hmm.
He came in with question marks on his motor. His brother was exactly the same, who went to the Giants. His problem was low motor, that the motor just waved off. It cooled quickly. If you can crack that code with Taylor, there is something there that you could work with. If you took him, and I'm talking, you could probably use him with your third round pick. The issue for Dallas is obviously they don't have a fourth round pick. So he would be your last pick until you pick again some like 100 odd picks later.
Yeah, for likes of defensive interior tackle, I don't see it happening when you've got likes a running back, linebacker, offensive line as your top priority needs. So if anything, I think it'll be like the fifth, sixth, and seventh round guys that would be more slightly be the case to look at.
There is every chance Taylor goes that far.
Yeah potentially, because I mean we said that a bit like previous linebackers before. I mean, look at Jabril Cox. He was supposed to be a second round draft pick and ended up falling down to the fourth. It was the same with DeLon Bland. Yeah. I mean, quite a few players.
Yeah.
So
DeRon Bland, another good example. I mean, DeRon Bland even more so again, Paul, because they drafted DeRon Bland and we all went, eh?
Yeah. I mean, I was going to make mention of the name of N'Kobe Dean.
Dean, that's a good one.
Dropped from the bottom of the first to the fourth round.
Yeah,
there was also a cornerback from Georgia last year who again was projected as a first round pick, dropped to the fourth. I cannot. He's with that team up in Pennsylvania, so I can't remember his name.
Team in Pennsylvania, are they called the Bulldogs?
There we go, yeah. Pennsylvania Bulldogs.
Practically, yeah.
I can never remember that guy's name. But that's the thing is...
He's irrelevant, Brian, he's irrelevant.
Yeah. Leonard Taylor might continue to drop to the fifth or the sixth round where you do have picks. So you just don't know with the guy what's going to happen. But, Paul, I'm glad you made mention of running backs, because myself and Mike, just while we were talking during the show, have decided we're going to talk about a running back as well, because this is going to be something the Cowboys are going to have to address during the draft.
We're fed out, yep.
And we're going to talk about a guy from running back U, and I'm not talking about... And also from UT, but I'm not going to talk about the Longhorns in this case. I'm actually going to talk about Jalen Wright from Tennessee, who is probably one of the big sleepers in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I've got his grades right now. Like, his rushing grade is in the 90s. His zone grade is in the high 80s. His gap grade is in the high 80s. His yards after contact is 4.35 yards, and he's getting better and better and better per season. Yep. He was 72 in 2021, 80.3 in 2022, and last year his overall grade was 91.0. And he had 1,000-yard season, 7.4 yards per attempt, only 4 touchdowns, but... I mean, for 12 games and still get a 1,000-yard season and only 136 rushes, that's still quite impressive. So, but me and Mike were talking about this. It's like, regardless of running backs and stuff like that, and any player, is Wright one of the guys that the Cowboys have had any contact with at all?
I'll let you know.
If you keep talking, I'll pull that up, Mike.
Go and check. Oh, all right, if you want to check. Yeah. I do like Wright, and he's been steadily on the rise, certainly after the Senior Bowl. Senior Bowl was quite interesting, too. My issue for him is, let's start. The two big things you want with a running back, which is speed and contact balance. Wright certainly has one of those. He's got the speed. He's very, very fast. The contact balance, it's not that bad. People will say that he's easily brought down. He's easily brought down when he's trying to run between the tackles because he's slight of frame. He is he's quite skinny. He doesn't have much muscle mass.
I don't know. In terms of his size, it's not the best. He's 5'11", 210. But in terms of his scouting report, he is a reliable pass protector due to his play strength, which is fair. I think, according to the scouting reports right now.
I'm trying to think. Pass blocking, I'll have to go and check on again. What grade have I given him? So for pass blocking, I've given him a grade of 68.
Mm-hmm. So,
okay, but I may have to check that again. Yeah. But the dude is fast. I mean, he's insanely quick. He ran a 4.38. And for a guy nearly 5'11", that's not bad. That's pretty fast.
Yeah. So Jalen Wright is not somebody the Cowboys interviewed at the draft.
Ah, okay. So...
So,
the reason I'm asking that, because that seems to be a clear indicator from previous years. Like, whoever we've interviewed seems to be the pick that we're going for, essentially. So, like, even though I'm a big fan, like, I know we're talking about running backs, but, like so offensive line right now, like, Jackson Powers-Johnson, a guy I like very, very much, he's not a guy that has been interviewed. Zach Frazier has from West Virginia. He's the center has been interviewed. So it would not surprise me if we were to trade back and get Zach Frazier, for example. But in terms of running backs, there's like Trey Benson and a few others. Jonathan Brooks, another one. So it would not surprise me.
They didn't?
Oh, wow. No. Okay.
Not at the combine anyway.
I'm pretty sure it's a 30-day visit.
I don't have the 30 visit information here at the minute, but what I'm looking at is the formal and informal interviews that were done at the combine. Right.
Okay, got you.
Brooks wasn't on that. Zach Frazier wasn't on that. But like again, that's something that we always pay attention to is that holy trinity of the Shrine Bowl, Senior Bowl, the formal interviews at the combine, and then the 30 interviews or Dallas Day guys.
Yeah, because that's one thing that me and Mike did when we were doing the World's Team mock draft is like players that have been interviewed, and also players with like we're in desperate need of. So likes of Jonathan Brooks, we did that. Like despite there was other options there available, we could have got in a later round, but. We tried
to do what we think Dallas would do.
With the history of what Jerry does with his second round draft picks, he always seems to sign players with an injury history and still manage to give them an NFL career. So that's where we kind of went with that. But like Jalen Wright, like just looking at his stats and analysis right now, it does kind of appeal to me quite a lot. But the question is Dallas? That's the question.
Okay, I'll ask you this. What type of running back do you want? Do you want a guy who's shifty in the open field, will go off tackling quick, or do you want a guy...
Powerhouse.
...efficient, and Jalen Wright isn't your guy?
I know it's not describing who Jalen Wright is, but I would prefer a powerhouse.
I know the running back for Paul.
Help me with it.
Braylon Allen from Wisconsin.
Yes,
it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't argue with Wisconsin. You know, the running game, the power football there, you know?
Nope.
Who was a formal interview at the combine?
Yep.
Mm. No. There you go.
Isn't he like 240-odd pound as well?
Yeah. Be lucky.
Yeah. And, you know, like that's what I think of. I'm the same as you. I'm of the same out where I want the bigger, you know, the guy who's going to bounce off tackles, Ezekiel Elliott, scrap the extra yards. You know, Jalen Wright, as great as he is, as good as he is as a running back, I just think, and he's also very scheme specific in terms of he needs a zone blocking scheme. Is Dallas a zone blocking scheme? I'm not so sure. We don't know. Mm-hmm. The identities of the Dallas offensive line is still up for debate.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Yeah. Mike, I'm going to throw a couple of names at you quickly, and I want your opinion whether they're worth the draft pick or not. Jermaine Burton, wide receiver, Alabama.
Let me have a look. Jermaine Burton. He's quite a reliable hands catcher, is what I would say. And, you know, he transferred from Georgia, went to Alabama, got a bit more success in Alabama.
Yep.
But when you think of the drop passes the Cowboys have had in the past, you know, at least with Jermaine Burton, there's a bit more reliability there. He's got all the basic physical tools that you want.
Yeah.
The issue with him is route running. He just lacks route running.
Yeah. Okay. Defensive tackle from LSU, Mason Smith.
Oh, I like Mason Smith.
I thought you were going to go with Jefferson now.
Another good guy. Yes, I like him. A good tackler, actually. The only issue with Mason Smith and why he's quite low down is he's got two injuries, really, in back-to-back years, which is you know, needs looking at. But I do like it. High motor player is the best way to describe him.
Cornerback out of Iowa State, TJ Tampa.
TJ, yes. Now, he kind of reminds me a little bit, in some ways, of Trayvon Diggs. That he shuts the corner down, will find the ball quite easily. He is a good tackler in terms of when he comes down to help near the run, which he will do. But as an open field tackler, he struggles, which is kind of something Trayvon Diggs has questions on. That's why he reminds me of him. He's not a consistent. The one thing that does bug me with him is you'll see him make these good interceptions and you go, oh, wow, that was interesting. And then it's just like an easy layup for him where he can intercept the ball and he drops it. That's a big, like, thing that bugs me. That bugged me with him.
Defensive end out of Clemson, Xavier Thomas.
Interesting. Go on. I tell you what, I'll have a think on that one. Well, tell me what you think of him.
A year ago, I would have happily taken Xavier Thomas in the first or second round.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not as sure where I would take him.
Did he not only play 3 games last year, though?
Let me move that.
I'm not sure.
I'm on the I would put him on the shelf for now for me.
Yeah.
I mean, he does have, I would say he's got a bit of versatility on him for sure, because he can play outside, over tackle, off ball, can hit the B gap as well. So he does have potential. Like, I mean, I've got his comparables right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in the high 70s, like 79.8 for his pass rush and 73 for his run defense. So I mean, for a later round pick, I think that would be quite a safe bet.
Yeah. For a late round, for definite.
Yeah.
I've got him because I make marks on how they did. Trimble, again, was disappointing with him. So he did play last year. It was just, again, it's the Trimble. Yeah. I think the issue with him is what I've got is everything, in terms of everything, on his defensive technique needs refinement. Yeah. That's tackling, pass rushing, and run stopping.
I'm just liking DJ Dog is in sync with us. He's saying Burton is best asset is his speed.
Mm.
And TJ Tampa definitely covers Dallas Goedert for you.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Which is excellent. Paul, I have one for you. I think this is someone you might like very much. Chris Jenkins, defensive tackle out of Michigan.
Is he a Mazi Smith 2.0? No. He's different.
Yeah.
But he does have a bit of explosive power on him.
Yeah.
Very powerful. He's got strength and power.
Yeah.
Strength and power is the big
he can hit the A gap and B gaps very effectively and cause the disruption into the backfield pretty well.
I think it's just because
I'm holding the name Michigan onto that so badly. See, if he was in a different school, I'd be well on top of that right now. But I think it's just personal experience. It's really haunting me right now. I think it doesn't matter what if we do draft a Michigan player, if it's going to be Blake Corum, the running back, Junior Colson, the linebacker. Like, yeah, exactly. PTSD with Michigan defensive lineman DJ Dog. Like, that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
He's a day two guy, is how I see him.
And our own Graham has tuned in at last.
Lebowski's in the house.
So I've one final question for both of you gentlemen before we get out of here, right? So in 2020, we drafted CeeDee Lamb.
Yep.
I remember that
day. In 2021, we drafted Mike Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
In 2022, we drafted Tyler Smith.
Yep.
In 2023, we drafted Mazi Smith. Collectively amongst us as the UK Cowboys admin group, none of us were really looking at those guys in the lead up. Because we were all looking at other areas of need.
Yeah.
Do you think there is a player that we're sleeping on right now?
Yes.
In terms of first round?
I got my guy.
And what position is that player?
I'm going to say wide receiver.
Okay.
And I'm going to say he plays for Texas.
Exactly. Are you going for the burner or the catcher?
Come again?
Are you going for the burner or the catcher?
I don't know what you mean by that.
The fast, rapid downfield guy or the
Xavier Worthy is the fast guy. Adonai Mitchell is the catching guy.
Oh,
he's
God.
The X type.
Yeah.
Wherever one catches, I guess. I don't care.
The way I see it is the Cowboys have a downfield burner, right? We've got that with Brandon Cooks. What we're lacking, especially since Michael Gallup's gone, is when you look at the wide receiver call, we're lacking an X receiver. We don't have that X type receiver. Adonai is an X receiver. So he fills the need better. He's the catcher, physical X receiver with a better route tree.
Lebarski is saying, he said, I think we'd hope for Thomas over Worthy. We never go for burners. You'd never know.
I do like Thomas. I rate him very, very highly.
I actually think
he is some of the reason the other guy is seen so fondly of. Because when you think of the system they had in LSU, because they had to worry about the downfield threat of Brian Thomas.
I know where you're going with this. Because when you think about it, that's what Amari Cooper did. That's what CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper was. When the focus was on one player and it left the other player completely open and made all the plays.
Yeah, and Malik Nabers, so he's left one-on-one on the outside because Brian Thomas is on the other side getting double-teamed because he needs to be bracketed for the downfield threat of it all. Malik Nabers just ate like no tomorrow. And one of the reasons now everyone sees Malik Nabers as the number two wide receiver is thanks to the work Brian Thomas was doing on the other side.
Yeah. So, Paul, you never actually said which of the two Texas receivers was your guy, so I'm assuming it's Xavier Worthy.
No, well, after what you mentioned there, it's definitely the guy that's going to catch the ball more.
You're going for Adonai Mitchell.
And yes.
DJ Dog is saying, and this is very true, Xavier Worthy is a workhorse and see great things for him in the future. Was first in and last out of the locker room, which is absolutely 100% true.
Yeah.
And he worked his ass off for his three seasons in Texas. I still maintain his freshman season was his best season at Texas. But Mike, who was the guy you were thinking of? Or have we discussed?
For me, that nobody is looking at that I think the Cowboys are going to go into draft is Byron Murphy.
Oh.
Wow.
That would be freaking insane.
The defensive tackle from Texas.
Yeah.
And do you know what I just found out within the last sort of 10, 15 minutes?
He's been
in for an interview.
He's 30 visit.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he is dropping down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I think he's that type of guy of, you know, like you say, that there's always with Dallas, it's the guy nobody was looking at. It was the person that we, like, let's go with Leighton Vander Esch, right?
Yeah.
Like, Leighton Vander Esch is, Dallas would literally scream and going, this is our first round guy. This is, and nobody listened. I think Byron Murphy is starting to have.
Yeah, Brian Broad has announced that Dallas is picking LVE in this draft numerous times on Talking Cowboys, the draft show, etc. And I was like, ah, really? And we didn't take no notice of it. I was like, ah, come on, really? Let's be serious. And I would never ever doubt our good friend Brian Broad ever again ever since then. Because I generally thought, end of the day, we're just fans and we're just thinking, what is our biggest positional needs? But there's been times and numerous occasions when we make a draft pick, we're like, huh? Then you kind of think, but I can see why they did that. You know?
Yeah. Hindsight. Yeah.
Yes. And hindsight. Like, my prime example was me reacting to CeeDee Lamb. That's probably the best example. Because I generally thought we were going for defensive end that year. Yeah. And when we made the CeeDee Lamb pick, he was the best wide receiver in that draft, without a shadow of a doubt. But the idea of me drafting the wide receiver when we had Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
What's that?
Graham, behave yourself. Yeah. Don't be saying things like that.
Oh.
Here's the thing. You know, we're like saying we need to draft linebackers. We need linebackers. Like, look at our run defense. I just think, like, here's another sneaky part to the Byron Murphy thing. You draft Byron Murphy, he fixes two parts of your defensive line, the run stopping and the pass rush, because he's good at both.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hold on. I just want to get his address.
Just while you're doing that, Paul, I'm going to pull DJ Dog's question up, because where my mind was going on this, again, Senior Bowl, formal interview, 30 visit. Mike is nodding his head and going, I can't believe Brian is about to say this.
Yeah.
Well, I am going to say it. Edgerrin Cooper.
Edgerrin Cooper is a guy literally that screams everything about Dallas. And the good thing is he's going to be there on Dallas Day. Yeah. So they get an extra look at him. Like, Edgerrin Cooper is, again, like, in a more obvious sense than what it was with LVE. LVE, you kind of went, oh, I see it now. Whereas with Edgerrin Cooper, you can like say
it's too obvious.
Yeah. I think for Dallas, if he's available there, they take him. my question is...
In the second round you're talking about? In the second round? In the first?
I think so. I think if they wanted to draft him... I see where you're going, Bright. That if they wanted to draft Edrin Cooper, if they really feel he's the guy, they have to take him with the first, because he's not making it to them to 56. And I can't see Dallas going up in the second because they don't have the capital. So they'd have to wait for him to fall, and he's not going to fall to him.
See, this is where I think, because the depth of offensive line will play back to here.
Definitely.
So I can see teams behind us might want to trade up with us to get that offensive lineman. We can still trade back three or four places.
Sure.
We could get Cooper or get one of those other offensive linemen that we quite like, and maybe get a closer spot in that second round, potentially, depending on what the draft capital was. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it could still happen.
I know what you're saying. You're using like the law of numbers, essentially.
To make
the draft pick for you. Yeah, because there's more numbers on one side than there is the other, and then you're hoping somebody else will buy into that for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like if someone's moving up from, I don't know, say 29. Who's at 29?
Bills.
The Lions. So
the Lions. Okay.
So. Well, we'll see the Buccaneers right now. They're at 26. They move up two places. We might not get as much.
A third round, are they?
Maybe a third round. But I think it really would depend on the Bills, the Lions, the Ravens, 49ers. In fact, that could be a shout. I'm hypothetical speaking because obviously, I think it is it Armstead is retired?
So they've let Eric Armstead leave.
He's gone. And this is likely going to be Trent Williams' final season, apparently. That's the rumor, apparently. Yeah. So it would not surprise me. They are doing their due diligence as well with Tim's to offensive lineman. If there's a guy they really like, Dallas could be a trade spot, potentially. So we
were doing the UK Cowboys mock draft, the three-round mock draft, and I actually took Tavondre Sweat for the 49ers. They might be interested in a defensive tackle, and they are not afraid to make a move and come up a few spots.
If
they're in love with a guy. So,
especially with their GM,
If Murphy starts falling to 24, they might just go, hey, let's pull the trigger on this.
And just absolute fleece the 49ers for everything what they've got.
And you're not dropping out of the first. You still have that fifth-year option, which we all know Jerry loves. We've dealt with 49ers before quite easily. There's never an issue with it. It's a quick, easy phone call, you know?
Mm. Yeah, in terms of the business side of things, it's quite smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the one I keep thinking of that could come up and keep you in the first round is if wide receivers start coming off the board, like in the middle of the board, and then you're sitting there and Dallas is sitting there and going, you know, we could take a wide receiver here and get that over and done with before too many of the wide receivers leave the board.
Yeah.
I wonder if that point Kansas City gets itchy trigger.
Yeah.
Because they need a wide receiver. They are out of weapons. Like, they are so desperate for wide receivers. They went to the IPP, and they've got a guy who's never played in the NFL in the hope that they can fix the wide receiver problem.
Let's be honest. I want to give Lewis Zamet his credit. Congratulations to him, right? Like, Yuki Nathan.
Charlie Smith.
And Charlie Smith, don't forget. Is he signed for someone yet?
Saints.
Did he? Oh, wow. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. He's with the Saints. Yeah.
Good on him.
So he was nailing kicks from 65 a la Roberto Carlos.
Did they have a swerve in Everton?
Yeah. Literally one of the kicks, and this was outdoor last week. It went about 10 yards outside the right upright and drew back in.
Phenomenal. What I don't get with that video is, if you have a look at it, why are the goalposts at a funny angle as well?
That's true.
Have you noticed it? The goalposts are like twisted And you're like, why are they like that? Why have you done that to your goalposts? I don't know.
Yeah. I will say, if, well, it's not going to happen with Dallas. We've got Brandon Aubrey, but I was going to say, yeah, if any kicker gets drafted, they need the Dan Bailey goalposts, the more thinner ones, to actually see if they're proved their worth.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you know what's crazy? Do you know when we was at the Star and you see those thinner goalposts, you're like, how does anyone kick into them?
Dan Bailey can.
He did.
I'd say Border Aubrey could as well.
Yeah.
I could do it within 10 yards, aye.
Mate, I've seen your kick. You're just trying karate kick the ball.
What can I say, mate?
Hey,
listen, my left leg was lethal back in the day. All right.
Yeah. I know. That's your MMA background coming through, mate.
Oh no. That's my proper kicking leg for kicking a ball as well.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Like, right kick would send you to the hospital, but my left kick would put you in the cemetery.
Oh,
I'm full of the punch tonight, lads.
Yeah, you got them. You got them, man.
So we've gone at least 20 minutes over the targeted time. So is there anything else you gentlemen want to discuss, or will I turn it over to you to discuss Thursday's show?
Go on, Paul.
I don't think there is. Obviously, I'm not gonna be here on Thursday. So, in Dallas. I'll try and come back on Tuesday if possible. So,
So for our listeners,
Labarcy just made a great comment. You might not be a Pro Bowl kicker like Jeff Heath, but I believe in you, Paul. Thank you, Labarcy. That's the confidence I need right now. Fantastic.
Beautiful.
So what is on the menu on Thursday night, Mike?
We're going to talk about pet cats.
Oh, man.
So yeah, that will be at the same time, 9 o'clock on Thursday, UK time, 3 p.m. Central.
Yeah, I think we're back in line with the clocks and all that now. So yeah,
we're back in the range.
Thinking, yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's 6 hours again.
Oh, God, yeah. I wouldn't know. I didn't even sleep at all last night.
We know.
Oh, did you get my notification?
4 a.m. yesterday.
Yes.
But before we get out of here, would one of you gentlemen like to give the shout out?
Yes, guys. If you're planning on going to a Dallas Cowboys game this year, be sure to go and check out cowboysexperience.com for game tickets, stadium tours, meet and greets, and much, much more.
And Mike, what do you get?
Free stuff.
So don't forget to use that promo code, folks. UK yep. Cowboys, you'll be looked after like royalty.
Yes, you do.
But it is a good night from them.
And it's a good night from him.
And a good night from me, I guess.
And you. Good night, Irene, for you.
Frauds.